This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 16th, 2025, and it is truly a beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media, we thank you for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Can you believe the temperature swing? The temperature here in Chippewa Falls right now. No, let me put it the other way. The temperature 24 hours ago was 12 degrees below zero, 12 below. It's 31 right now. It's a 43-degree swing in 24 hours. That heat wave hasn't hit like that hard across all of Wisconsin, but many places are at least 20 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday. It's 31 here in Chippewa Falls, 28 in Hayward, 31 in Amory, 28 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 32, Wisconsin Rapids 30, Green Bay 28, Madison 28, Waukesha is 23 right now, and at Radio Park in Racine it's 26, where we will talk to Greg Bach in just a little bit. Coming up on the program today, it's a busy one, it's a Thursday. We're going to tell you the similarity between Chippewa Falls and a fictional movie city involving the Leinenkugel Brewery, which is supposed to shut down for good at the end of this week, but there's been a little family drama involved that I'll tell you about in just a couple of minutes here. Also, Senator Ron Johnson doesn't miss an opportunity to play politics with a natural disaster. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about that at 6:30. Senator Tammy Baldwin, meanwhile, secures a win for women, ensuring that a national monument to the suffragettes will be built on the National Mall. The U.S. Senate this week is busy with some contentious nominees for President-elect Trump's cabinet. There are raised voices, numerous controversies. By comparison, Sean Duffy had smooth sailing as the likely transportation secretary, but the question remains, why? We'll talk to a writer who's covered Duffy for years and sees nothing in his background or skill set that matches the challenges of this new position. Plus, we have another round of visits with new Wisconsin legislators, State Senator Jody Habersynekin and State Representative Tara Johnson. All that and much more coming up today. You can reach us by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to listen to us, to call us, and to text us. Or if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comment section. We may put it up on screen and respond to it. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and you can get our unabashedly Wisconsin daily newsletter by heading to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in that top banner. One of Christina Laurie's stories today. Ooh, I like that. We should go with that. Laurie's stories. Restaurant traffic in January drops severely. The holidays are over. It's the middle of winter. People are hunkering down at home. Sherry and I went out to dinner at a place in Eau Claire last night, a big hamburger chain restaurant, and we were almost the only customers in there. And in the newsletter today, it talks about how local restaurants are hurting. So go grab a dinner, tip well, because those servers aren't seeing nearly the customers that they're used to seeing. Buy some gift cards while you're there. Be prepared for the next round of birthday cards or anything that you have to send out. So that and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Greg Bach is down in Racine, as mentioned, where, yes, amazingly, things are a bit more tropical here at 31 compared to 26. But either way, I like what you said before, that while it feels good, there's something that feels off about this.
Yeah. This isn't good for the earth.
No. No. If you get too hot and then too cold too fast, you know, you usually catch something.
Yeah.
And yeah, the earth is catching a cold or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, it's weird. Like, and tomorrow it's supposed to be 40.
And then, days after that.
We get 40, we get 30, and then I think we get 4.
And then we get like 72 hours of it never getting above zero. I mean, it's going to get even colder than it was this week. So it's weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's just weird.
Yeah, but it's something that we have to put up with here. So theater of seasons. That's what I'm going to go with. Theater of seasons. The Bucks beat Orlando last night, 122-93. Damian Lillard scored 30. Giannis had 26. The Bucks passed Orlando to take over fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Their homestand continues with games tomorrow against Toronto and Sunday against Philadelphia. So here's my story for you and for everybody else about Chippewa Falls.
Okay.
And want to get your reaction to this. Folks know from back in November that Molson Coors, the big mega brewery, mm-hmm. decided to shut down the original Leinenkugel Brewery here in Chippewa Falls after 157 years in business. And it's going to put 56 people out of work as they shift Leinenkugel production to Milwaukee. And there's nothing wrong, you know, nothing against Milwaukee. It's, you know, Miller and Leinies have a long relationship. So it's nothing about Milwaukee. It's just that they're shutting down the brewery here. They're keeping the Leinie Lodge open, you know, hashtag tourism.
Yeah.
But they won't be brewing beer here on the scale that they have for, you know, more than a century. Well, now comes word that the Leinenkugel brothers tried to make an offer to keep the brewery alive, but they were rebuffed. And as I tell you the story, I hope it hits you the way that it hit me. You're familiar with Tommy Boy.
Correct.
The movie.
Of course.
And what we always like in there, what we always like to see is that there's as they're driving around, there's all of these directional signs, including one that says Chippewa Falls at 100 miles. As they try to save the Callahan factory in Sandusky, Ohio. Chippewa Falls now is Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah.
Molson Coors is Ray Zielinski, you know, and the Liney boys are the Callahans. Because you see, Jake and Dick Leinenkugel approached Molson Coors requesting to hold confidential talks about possibly buying back the brewery that they sold to Miller back in 1987. And so now, just to give you the quick history here, the Leinenkugels sold it to Miller. Miller, you know, ran it just fine. But then Miller got swallowed up by SAB in 2002, by Coors in 2008, and by Molson in 2016. So it's now Molson Coors, this mega worldwide brewer. Yeah. So Molson Coors refused the Leinenkugel brothers' request. In a response to Dick and Jake, the mega brewery sent a letter that said, Leinenkugel's has been, is that how you spell that? Guys, check that. Is it Leinenkugel? Yeah, Leinenkugel. Leinenkugel is an important part of our company, has been for nearly 40 years, and that's not changing. We're incredibly proud of Leinies, the many people in Chippewa Falls who built this brand into what it is today and will continue to be for years to come, a true Wisconsin beer beloved by people across the country. What they're saying to Dick and Jake is this: no, you can't buy back your own family name.
Yeah.
We own your name.
Yeah.
We're not going to let you reopen the brewery and make Leinie's beer. We own the Leinie's name. We're going to continue to make the beer without needing the Chippewa Falls facility anymore. In other words, Sandusky, Ohio, your factory is shutting down and we're slapping the Callahan name on Zielinski brake pads because at Molson Coors, I make American beer for the American working man because that's what I am. As the great Dan Aykroyd put it, as Ray Zielinski. It hits you right between the eyes when you're like, oh my God, we're living something out of Tommy Boy. And Molson Coors, you know, is based in Chicago, and I'm just very cautious. If you happen to see like a news van from the Chippewa Valley heading down toward the headquarters, don't go in the bank lobby because there's a good chance there might be a fake robbery as part of a diversion. If you've never seen the movie, you're so lost right now. If you've seen the movie, you know exactly where I am right now.
Is that Jake Leinenkugel? Is he tied up in road flares? What's going on here?
Right? I just couldn't believe that.
Could Jake and Dick is his name?
Yeah, Jake and Dick.
Dick, it's, you know, could they start their own microbrewery again and start from scratch?
I would imagine they could do something like that, and they could call it, you know, Jake's Beer, because, you know, Jake is like the great-great-great-grandson of the original Jacob Leinenkugel, who started the brewery.
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, this thing's not over yet. Mm-hmm. It's just that Molson Coors had a chance to just do the right thing to keep our little brake pad factory open and said, nah, don't want to.
I mean, honestly, that's like, they're no threat. They could buy the brewery, do their own micro brewing, call it something else, and it would be fine. And Miller wouldn't lose a dime.
No, that's just it. They could work out a revenue deal where it's like, here, you guys can be partners in this.
We'll rent the spot from you.
Right. Just let us save our little factory.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, don't want to.
No, we shall crush your dreams.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're not getting rid of Summer Shandy either.
It's just another revenue stream. So we'll continue to follow that. But that's what struck me as just particularly sadly amusing, unfortunately. Let's see. I want to tell you about one little victory. It's not that little a victory, but it happened last week, and it just kind of missed all the major headlines here. But Senator Tammy Baldwin won a nice victory last week when President Biden signed her bill into law that will make sure that a national monument to the women's suffrage movement, which led to the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, giving women the right to vote, that national monument to the suffragettes will be placed eventually on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. You see, here's the deal. There's monuments all over Washington, D.C., but only like the big important ones get on the National Mall. And the National Park Service, I believe it was, had been saying, sorry, folks, you know, the mall is full. The moose should have told you out at the front gate. And they said the only way that you're going to get a monument on the National Mall is to pass a separate bill through Congress. And that bill had been gummed up for a time. And Tammy Baldwin and others made some noise, and the bill finally got passed. President Biden signed it recently. And so eventually there will be a national monument on the National Mall to the women who fought for the right to vote, which I need to remind you was no small thing. There were many women who were arrested, beaten, assaulted, belittled, simply for seeking the ability to vote on par with any man, trying to be citizens, to take nothing away from the civil rights movement and everything else. But for this particular fight, for women to be treated equally and thought well enough to vote, deserves a monument, and it deserves to be on the National Mall. We'll unpack more of the news coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota, a balmy Lake Wissota, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Tell you why that George Harrison song is part of today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Joe Zepecki coming up in about 15 minutes as well. Let's see, a few comments on Facebook here. First off, several from Greg Wansnyder on YouTube saying, George Harrison, good tune. He says, good morning. Who wants a beer? I need one after our Liney story here. He says, I'll actually be drinking a beer tonight while calling bingo for Carroll University. He says, heat wave today. It's supposed to get up to 30 in the Shaw. And did Greg Bach dye his hair purple, asks the blind man. So no, but you have a lovely, wait a minute. That's not your usual short sleeve t-shirt. Is that long sleeve or is that like mid sleeve?
Long sleeve. I've worn this before. Don't have make you? It sound like I have three shirts. I have
that three shirts, but you have a style. You have look.
But this is my Carhartt long sleeve t-shirt hoodie.
Oh, no, it looks great.
Yeah.
And it looks good on you.
And, it's a big hello to Greg Wansnyder down in Waukesha. I've known Greg for about 30 years now.
Oh, very nice. Well, yeah. Thank you for writing in about that. One other thing before I leave the Leinenkugel Tommy Boy thing. I seriously, I had just the right clip for it out of Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
It's where Tommy, you know, Chris Farley and Dan Aykroyd is going through Zelensky's factory where he's meeting him for the first time and making the pitch going, but that's our factory. It's our little hometown. And Dan Aykroyd, as Zelensky says, you know, well, that's the breaks, kids. If I can slap your family name on my stuff, put a little coin in my pocket, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize how much Dan Aykroyd swears in that clip.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have time to say, you know, if it makes me the jerk, I'll put it like that. Well, you know, that's what you got to do. What the American consumer doesn't know is what makes them the American consumer.
Yeah.
Was his closing line.
I was trying to find something to just like something really simple. And yeah, mm-hmm. Every time I thought about it, I was like, no.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, do you live under power lines as a kid? Why? Sorry. Okay. We're done.
That's okay. Let's see. I have one national story that I thought was important enough to pass along. It does not have a Wisconsin tie, but I still feel like it's concerning for reasons I think you'll understand here. Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday removed an Ohio congressman, Michael Turner, a solid conservative, from the chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee, paving the way for President-elect Trump to have tighter control over the committee that oversees intelligence matters. You know, the thing he always refers to as the deep state, as he listens to whatever Vladimir Putin tells him about world security matters. Mr. Turner from Ohio, who emerged from a meeting with the speaker on Wednesday afternoon looking furious, writes the New York Times, has at times been critical of Trump's actions. He voted to certify President Biden's 2020 election. He criticized Trump's reckless handling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. And he has also been a leading proponent of supporting Ukraine in its fight against Russia. I think we may have found the cause here. Turner not only got kicked out of the chairman's post by Speaker Johnson, he got kicked off the committee altogether. After 10 years there, since there's a 6-year limit that applies to members who aren't the chair, Speaker Johnson last year blindsided Turner by appointing to the committee two of Trump's more vocal minions, Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas. Remember the goofball former White House physician who laughably lied to us about Trump's health, saying he weighed like, what, 220 or something like that? And Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, who was part of the planning for Trump's attempt to overthrow the 2020 election. The ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Jim Himes of Connecticut, told reporters last night, Turner's removal, quote, sends a shiver down my spine. He said the Constitution demands that Congress function as a check and balance to the executive branch, not cater to its demands. So another mainline conservative, the kind that you and I would have, disagreed with by and large, but said, look, we can disagree on things, but there's certain things that should be rock solid to us, like democracy and, you know, putting some trust in the civil servants and the Intelligence Committee, who don't always get it right, you know, weapons of mass destruction. But that doesn't mean you dismantle the whole thing. Tony and Ashlyn writes on YouTube, yeah, sounds like some kind of liberal, that Mike Turner. No, he's really not. And it is to the point now where almost nothing is left of a major American party that has been taken over by the cancer of Trumpism. Cancers leave you vulnerable to infection. And Vladimir Putin and leaders in China and North Korea and Turkey and elsewhere are more than ready to infect their own corners of the globe. And we will be less prepared if we have an intelligence committee that is vetoed by a president who would rather take the word of Russia, and by an intelligence committee that cannot act as a check and balance to the president. We all learned about separation of powers way back when, and much like democracy itself, we probably took that for granted. especially in this two-party era where it's like, well, why should there be separation of powers? You know, you've got either the Democratic way or the Republican way. Well, the Founding Fathers put in that separation of powers in part because they understood that people in their respective groups, sometimes when they're broken down into subgroups, that's a healthy thing where they can have a healthy disagreement. I can tell you firsthand that just in the state capitol alone, and we see this to this day, there are times when Senate Republicans disagree with Assembly Republicans or vice versa, and that's why some bills don't pass. And when I was there, Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats sometimes disagreed, and both often disagreed with then-Governor Jim Doyle about the right thing to do. And that's frustrating, but it's also healthy, as opposed to having nothing but sycophants, toadies, bootlickers, whatever you want to call them. When you just have it that way, you're losing your democracy, and you are instead leading to that autocracy where it's one guy says what it's going to be, whether he's well-informed or not, and nobody speaks truth to power. Nobody stands up to him. Now, look, it's frustrating when somebody stands up within your own party and hits the brakes on something, looking at you, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. But Joe Biden still got things done anyway because you had this healthy debate. There's not a healthy debate coming in Washington, D.C. starting next week, and we just got the latest sign that Congress, like the U.S. Supreme Court, is just going to fall right into line, and that is not going to be healthy. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There's the sound that means we are on the verge of a weekend, Thursday morning. It's always a little early for some people to talk weekends. Not this guy on a Thursday morning, because when I have Joe Zepecki here, I know the work week doesn't have that much left into it, and we can talk about what has happened to this point. Mr. Zepecki, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. We don't need to dwell on the fact that this is the last time we'll do this before Donald Trump is sworn in Monday as president of the United States again, or as I call him, America's first legitimately elected illegitimate president based on what Jack Smith's report about the January 6th investigation showed.
Yes,
he's not just a felon. He would have been a multiple times over felon.
Yes. I mean, it was a criminal enterprise. But
yeah.
He weaseled out of accountability yet again, which is why, I've been referring to this as the last normal week before things get all crazy. But things are already crazy. And we're going to start with the California wildfires, not something in California, but Wisconsin's own Senator Ron Johnson joining a growing number of congressional Republicans, writes the Journal Sentinel here, calling for conditions to be attached to federal aid for California amid devastating wildfires. Leave it to Ron Johnson to politicize the misery of a natural disaster again.
There are a couple things going on here, and let's just tick through them. The first of which is, how the hell does this lower your grocery bill to attach conditions? Second, what are the conditions? Republicans can't even tell you what the conditions are. They don't know anything about why these fires started, the realities on the ground. And the Republican Party and the MAGA movement is so captive to the worst people with the worst takes that they are constantly feeling like they have to make those people happy. Do you think Ron Johnson would be up in a helicopter if there was 100-mile-an-hour wind going on? Like, these fires started, they are strong, these high winds make it virtually impossible to fight them. You got clowns like Elon Musk trying to get firefighters on the ground to agree with these conspiracy theories on the right that say, oh, you didn't have enough water, did you? And when they say, well, no, actually, we had plenty of water, but the winds were so high, he cuts out the video.
Uh-huh.
So Ron Johnson and Mike Johnson, they conditions. They can't tell you what the conditions are. They just want to stick it to a blue state because that's how they get their jollies. And I'm sick of it. And the American people are going to be sick of it. Yeah. Because, like, remember, come next week, the person sitting in the White House again is going to be somebody who, when he was in the last time, his staff had to show him how many Republicans live in Orange County and voted for him before he would sign off on the last disaster declaration. Yeah. And just, and one more thing on this, like, they say this because it gets them points in the fever swamps, but they don't seem to remember that California has more Republicans than any other state in the union, right? You'd need a lot of Wisconsins to get to the number of Republican votes for Donald Trump there were in the last election. So this is a poignant preview of the type of nonsense that we're going to be dealing with, because Donald Trump and the cast of characters who are going to surround him, which I think we'll get to in a little bit, this isn't serious. They don't take this seriously. They are always looking to score political points. And that brings me to the last part, which is this notion that as these fires are still burning, before recovery efforts have identified how many souls have lost their lives, they are rushing to play politics with this, which is pretty ironic coming from the wing of our politics, where anytime there's a massacre with a gun and 32 people are killed at a university, or 54 people are killed at a nightclub, or 18 kids are killed in a school, their response is, how dare you inject politics into this? This is a time for thoughts and prayers.
Exactly.
And it just, it gives away the game. And I, you know, I've been sick of it. You've been sick of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the American people are going to understand that that's what's going on here. They're being told that these politicians are voting for on the right care about one thing, but then when they get in there, they don't actually do anything about it. They're just playing the game.
And California, of course, is known as a donor state. They send out much more money to the federal government than they take in. So, I mean, what would you expect? California to put conditions on sending its money to Washington, D.C. and saying, Congress, you can't give any of our money to states with abortion bans? Moving on.
We're going to get through this.
We're going to get through this. Governor Tony Evers this week announced a violence prevention initiative. We talked about it at length yesterday with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying, nope, the only way to prevent crime is more cops, even as he helps squeeze local budgets that would fund law enforcement. Look, there's reasons to like or not like the governor's initiative, but I would contend that, again, much like you mentioned some of these other violent incidents in schools and whatnot, at least he's trying to do something.
And that's the thing. Action is needed. Action is long overdue. The governor has fought for measures in the past, including while he's been governor, this school tip line where anybody who hears anything, you know, the old see something, say something, hear something, say something, to try to keep our kids safe when they're in school. And anything that the government can do to get out of the way of coordination between law enforcement agencies, between different professional classes of people who can do threat assessment, who can advise school districts on appropriate measures on safety and security. Why would you try to stand in the way of that? That's what this Office of Violence Prevention seems to be about, is actually opening more communication flows between the people who are charged with keeping our kids safe. That seems like common sense and long overdue. Kudos to Governor Evers for getting it done.
Let's talk about the state Supreme Court race. Scott Walker's former Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, was first up on the air with TV commercials about the race. And somehow, putting himself out there as a leader on getting rid of the backlog of rape prevention or rape test kits. That's not exactly the full story from Brad Schimmel.
No, I mean, we all tell ourselves stories, Pat, and he certainly gets to do that as well. You know, I had been thinking about this because I was racking my brain, and I couldn't remember the last time that Wisconsin fired an attorney general. So I went into the old blue books and looked, 1990, Jim Doyle defeated a Republican incumbent for attorney general. And then an attorney general of Wisconsin did not get fired again for 28 years. Brad Schimmel was the first attorney general of Wisconsin to be fired by the voters for being bad at his job in almost 30 years. Now, how bad do you have to be fired by the voters for that when they really like to rehire attorney generals? Well, when you're wrong on abortion and are trying to limit women's access to reproductive health care, when you are against the, at the time he was in office, increasingly popular Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, and are, you know, going to court trying to sue to overturn a way for people to afford health care, and when you are letting rape kits stack up untested, measuring in the thousands, you know what happens? You get fired by the people of Wisconsin. And for him to 6 years later try to rewrite history, I mean, okay, that, like, that's certainly his prerogative, and he's going to have to do a heck of a job rewriting history to have any chance in this election. But this guy was a lousy attorney general who was on the wrong side of issue after issue, and just as an administrator, couldn't do the bare minimum of testing these rape kits and letting them stack up. Okay, we fired you once. I don't think you're going to be eligible for rehire by the voters with that record. But no, that's the fight that's going to happen in the next 3.5 months.
See, now you made me, I had to go look it up because of you. I could not come up with the name. Don Hanaway.
Hanaway
was, yep, was the incumbent attorney general that Jim Doyle defeated back in 1990.
We could have made that today's trivia question.
I know, we really could have. as long as we're talking about the state Supreme Court, they heard some arguments in a case that involves PFAS, these industrial mm-hmm. chemicals that we're finding in our drinking water more and more. And the way that they are regulated, especially by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Well, the antithesis of a Department of Natural Resources would be big industry. Well, that would be Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is in court trying to fight the way that the state of Wisconsin would try to manage the tracking down and the cleaning up and the accountability for PFAS cleanup. And the argument that WMC is making basically says, in so many words, the state can't regulate any of these things unless they write a specific rule for every individual chemical. And as we've discussed previously, PFAS is a long acronym describing dozens, if not hundreds, of different chemical types. And
it's like a classification.
Right. Does that not sound like the most, you know, Gilded Age cigar chomping big government thing ever, or big business thing ever, is to say, well, government can only regulate us if they pass a rule for every single chemical compound, and right, they expect the Supreme Court to go along with us.
Right. They apparently want more government. Yeah. And this is the thing. They don't actually have principles. They say things like less government. They don't mean that. They mean more government when it suits what they want, and less government when it doesn't. And the robber barons are back. Speaking of the Gilded Age, they're going to be seated, you know, front row, apparently, at Trump's inauguration next week. And whether it's tech titans who are selling out their own previously stated values, whether it is big business trying to continue to squeeze and squeeze and nickel and dime every single working class family in Wisconsin and around the country so that they don't have to pay the tab when they poison your drinking water, you can count on the right for one thing, which is to fight tooth and nail to never face accountability. And I just really believe that there is a reckoning coming once the American people and once people in Wisconsin see that it was all nonsense. They didn't mean what they were saying. They are out to reward big campaign contributors. Hey, you gave $250 million to Donald Trump's reelection. Great. You get a prime seat at the election. You get to run a fictitious government agency and call your own shots. Oh, you were a bundler? You get an ambassadorship. Oh, you want your taxes cut? You oil and gas? Give me $1 billion and I'll cut your taxes so much you'll be richer than you ever were. That is the only consistency we see out of the right, and this falls into that bucket. The notion that you cannot find quick and speedy justice and resolution to hold a corporation accountable when they poison your drinking water and make your kids sick is nonsense. That is what government is for. Government doesn't have to do everything. It shouldn't do everything. But the things that it does do, it ought to be able to do well and expeditiously. And what they are arguing for is another way to gum up the works and make it harder for you to get accountability against a big business that is going to make more in an hour than you will in your entire life. That's nonsense.
Got time for one quick one, and it's not an easy one. It deals with the legislature, the Republican legislature, going through and making sure that on this April's ballot will be a constitutional referendum to make voter ID a part of the Constitution, not just a state law. And you can talk about voter suppression. You can talk about the lack of any voter fraud. But because voter ID itself, the concept kind of polls well with people, is this going to be a real uphill fight for folks to convince voters to vote no on putting voter suppression in the state constitution?
Yes, it is. And the opportunity here is to once again remind people that Republicans are not doing what they claimed to want to do if they were returned to power. They have been banging this drum 10 years, 12 years, 14 years. How long has it been? And guess what? Voter ID is a fact of life now. It's not perfect. It disenfranchises people. And our elections in Wisconsin have high voter participation and turnout, and they run smoothly and accurately. And with the exception of course, the spring pandemic election. But here's another example where they just keep playing the hits because they believe it helps them hold on to power. And that's a hell of a lot easier than actually dealing with the real challenges facing working families who are trying to make it, while those at the very top are living fatter and fatter all the time. So they're just going to keep doing this as long as the voters let them. Never too early to start looking to 2026. I hope the Voss crew gets to play all their hits, because it's going to be playing them off the stage come 2026.
Yep. Joe Zepecki, as always, appreciate it so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
You too.
We will have today's history lesson coming up next. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The people are asking to hear my voice. The country is facing a difficult choice. And if you were to ask me who I promote, Jefferson has my vote.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is 45 years old today. Here he is talking about the election of 1800 in Hamilton. But when all is said
and all is done, Jefferson has beliefs. Burr has none.
Love that line. Of course, I love everything about Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm...
That especially when I support my adversary because he at least has principles.
Yeah.
You know, Hamilton hit really hard 8 years ago
for
reasons I think we all understand. And there's a reason people are listening back to it again right now.
Yeah, I remember the first time, like, I remember people talking about it and just talking and talking and talking about it. And I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't hear of it. I'm not a huge musical fan. Mm-hmm. And I got really into it, and for an anniversary, Bridget gave me a ticket to see it. She's like, in Chicago, she's like, happy anniversary. You're going to go see Hamilton. She goes, you're going alone. This was a really expensive ticket. I'm like, that's fine. Then I just played a game called How Long Will It Take for This Play to Make Greg Cry? 15 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's just, and by the way, and I've said this before, but I will again, if you have not yet seen the play and you also have not listened to the soundtrack, go ahead and listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
If you don't think you're going to see the play anytime soon, it's I forget the theater term for it, not just musical, but where it's like the whole show is the musical. So you're missing almost nothing from the play. There's very little speaking alone parts. Mm-hmm. Listen to it. I promise you, you'll love it. Lin-Manuel Miranda is 45 years old today. Another birthday today would be Ronnie Millsap. He turns 82 today.
God, I love this man. This song takes me back.
Does it?
Oh, when I was my father loved Ronnie Millsap. Loved Ronnie Millsap.
So many good country hits back in the day. Good country crossover hits as well. Let's see. We played George Harrison's version of Got My Mind Set on You. It went to number one this day in 1988. At the time, that set the new record for the longest period between number one hits. It had been 24 years since his previous number one hit, which was Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth. The record's since been broken, but 24 years in between number one records. Also, right up there in the birthdays today, Ronnie Millsap was 82. Jim Stafford is 81, and he had a lot of novelty songs in the 70s. Most of my love was touching the smile, but she said, come on over here. This would be his one of his big hits, Spiders and Snakes, of course. Let's see, more birthdays today. Sade is 66. She had, what year was Smooth Operator? I should have looked that up.
1985.
Big hit for Happy Birthday to Her.
Then there we go. Oh, 84.
1984.
And Sade is the name of the band.
You get out of here.
I'm not kidding you, because Sade is the name of her name is, that's part of her name. They use part of her name, but then that's the name of the band. And I'm like, what?
I love how even all these years later, we're still learning things about things that were on the music charts back in the day.
Her real name is Helen.
Helen. Okay, Helen with Smooth Operator. Does not flow off the tongue the same way.
Not so smooth.
No. Happy birthday to Maxine Jones of En Vogue. She is 62 today. Oh, I would love to tell you that the singer Aaliyah is, she would have been 46 today. Passed away way too young in a plane crash back in 2001, but had a couple of big hits.
If you tell the this song. Oh,
boy. See, I'm trusting you with my heart. Extremely innovative. You can't not listen to it. On this day in 1992, Eric Clapton recorded his MTV Unplugged special, which is still, you know, just an absolute top-rated MTV Unplugged installment in that series. The whole series was really good, but I mean, this one, the album that resulted from this Unplugged would go on to win 6 Grammy Awards. And we will play, he did the remake of Layla, which is what really shocked people. We'll see that one a little bit later on. But he got Record of the Year. Songs included the Layla remake, Tears in Heaven, Before You Accuse Me, and so much more. Again, something you can listen to front to back still, even to this day. When we talk about the Roman Empire, I mean, like, well, when did the Roman Empire begin? It began on this day in 27 BC.
That's so weird. Today in 27.
Today in 27 BC, you know, because of course they didn't know it was 27 BC at the time. It's what we refer to it as. But it's when Octavianus was granted the title of Augustus by the Roman Senate. And that's when you had a whole lot of emperors after that. Donald Trump's first impeachment trial began in the Senate over his attempts to blackmail Ukraine on this day in 2020. Again, Senate Republicans had a chance to do the right thing by the Constitution and by their country 5 years ago today. Sad anniversary for the space program. Columbia, the space shuttle, lifted off this day in 2003. Its wing was damaged at launch, and Columbia would be lost 16 days later, returning back. On the national day calendar today, this is weird. This is Fig Newton Day and Quinoa Day and Hot and Spicy Food Day.
Okay.
So which is it, kids? Is it going to be hot and spicy food, or is it going to be Fig Newtons and quinoa, the antithesis of all things hot and spicy?
Yeah, I get that. I got
one more hot and spicy. It's Dragon Appreciation Day.
Oh, well, they need their day.
Well, I know. So appreciate your dragon if you've got one. I don't know where these things come from. I just read them, folks. Very busy second hour ahead of Up North News Radio with a couple of brand new state legislators and more live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.